Now we're going to switch over and talk a little bit about, or a lot maybe, about 4960. And 4960, most of you, I hope, have heard of it. It's a fairly new statute. It came in with the Tax Reform Act in 17. And it was sort of a surprise. It snuck in pretty late in the run up to the day that the law was passed. And it was really apparently aimed at state coaches, highly paid coaches and so forth. Congress made a mistake, and they actually missed a lot of the state coaches, but they managed to catch a lot of other people. And they still occasionally talk about, well, maybe they'll do a technical correction and sweep in the state coaches and other state people, but it seems less likely now. So we don't know that, but it's still a lurking concern that they might actually broaden this a little bit more. But even among the state, you know, even when we say, oh, well, they missed the states, they didn't miss all the states. So even if you're at a state institution, we'll talk a little bit about some parts of the state that may be caught under these rules. So the key to 4960 is it's an excise tax that applies when an institution pays either compensation over $1 million to an employee or pays an excess parachute payment, which is essentially a severance payment that's more than three times the individual's compensation. Of course, there's a lot more to those. They're not easy rules. Each of these was borrowed from a for-profit corporate rule with some twists. And we'll go through both, you know, all of these in some detail. There's a lot of very strange things that we're all still, I think, chasing down and figuring out. But you really have to start with who it applies to, and we'll kind of walk through these. Who does it apply to? How do we figure out what goes in? There are interesting definitions of compensation, remuneration. There are definitions of who's covered by this. And there's an awful lot of administration and data collection and data retention that you really have to think about. This has caught a lot of our clients off guard as we've worked through a lot of these things over the last year. And it's harder than you first think it's going to be. A lot of people say, oh, we don't pay anybody $1 million. But sometimes you do. And sometimes it's unexpected. You know, you have an amount that gets paid at the end of a 10-year 457F plan. And all of a sudden you have one payment, it vests, it pays out, you're over $1 million. And you could be caught under this.
And I'll just add, I mean, I think one of the misnomers of 4960 is that it only applies when you're paying somebody over $1 million. And as we'll talk a little bit further, the excess parachute payment rules actually can pick up folks that aren't paid $1 million. It's a three times formula. So even if you're not paying anyone over $1 million, I think like Karen mentioned, number one, you might someday, and so it's important to be identifying covered employees, which are defined without any mention of $1 million, and then also the excess parachute payment rules to keep those in mind as well.
Yeah. Now, one of the issues that comes up is, and is who is an applicable tax-exempt organization, ATEO? Like I said, this is a place where the Congress made a bit of a mistake, but it's looking at people who are at entities who are tax-exempt. It's looking at entities who are excluded from taxation under 115-1, and it even for state entities that have 501c3 letters. And so it's broader scope than you might think, and it's not a bad idea to go back and really look, even if you're a state institution, to see whether or not you have a C3, see whether or not you are relying on 115.
I think that's a good point. And I think, you know, before, so if we mentioned interim guidance was issued as part of Notice 2019-09, and it gave some clarity, I guess, at least around the thinking as far as there had been a number of questions raised under 4960 and with respect to its application to governmental entities, including public institutions of higher education, specifically those that are relying on a doctrine of implied statutory immunity. For their exemption. So the notice does clarify that governmental entities that are not recognized as exempt under 501c3 and are not excluding income under 115, that they are not applicable tax-exempt organizations. So that was certainly a helpful helpful for it to be stated in the notice. Gives some clarity there.
Yeah. Now, if we decide that we're under 4960 and we're looking at, all right, who does this apply to? We go to the definition of covered employee. And there's some warnings around covered employee. It sounds easy. It's not. And you kind of have to walk through it. And here's where there's some data retention, and we'll talk about that later, too. Covered employee generally means, in the current year, your five highest paid employees. And that doesn't mean it has to be an officer. It's just the highest paid employees. Unlike the statute that this was borrowed from, which only looks at officers, this is broader. And it doesn't have to be somebody making a million. If you've got one person who makes 800 and one person who makes 7, 6, 5, that all of those people are your highest paid employees. And once they are on the list, they've been a covered employee, they've been one of the top five in a year, they are forever covered. In fact, it's called the Hotel California rule. You can never leave, even at death. And so you really have to watch that list, because if anybody has ever pegged over and become one of the five highest paid people for the year, they're on the list, which means 3 or 4 years later, they go over a million unexpectedly because of some other payment. Well, they're already on the list, even if there are people making a lot more above them. So your high five for the year may all be over a million already. This person just barely crosses a million. Well, he's already one of your covered people from a prior year. You have to know that.